All right, we're back, and this is probably going to be the last episode that we record for the year, but it's probably not going to come out until 2022. But today, we're going to talk about getting free press from the media.
Yes, which I would say that neither of us are experts on getting free press, but we've both done it. So we're going to just share our experiences over the past, 12 years, I guess?
Tony, I don't consider myself an expert in anything. Things just happen. We adapt. We flow.
Well, I watched your latest press, and apparently you are an expert in microprocessor design.
Okay, that I will give myself a badge for, because I did that for 20 years, maybe even longer than that. So
You get a gold medal for microprocessor design.
But if we keep talking about that, everyone's going to stop listening.
Yeah, so on to what's really important, how to get yourself in the media.
So what's funny about this is, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but I would say 90% of my media requests were not intentional. Like, I didn't go out seeking it. Outside of a couple of Harrow mentions, Harrow stands for Help a Reporter Out, all the media requests generally just come to me and not the other way around. Has that been the case for you too?
Yes. And here's what I think happens with media in general. And I know, and I actually know this to be true, because even though you and I don't have extensive media experience, we have lots of friends that have spent their whole, you know, content career in the media, like Aaron Chase and people like that. Once you get in the media and you do a good job, and that's actually really important, if you do a good job, especially on TV or video, it's really video, not just necessarily TV, but if people see that you're good on video, you go into this like bucket that all these people have, all these producers and publicists, PR people have. And so once you do a good job, you get on a list. And I don't know how this happens. I mean, I'm sure there's a procedure for it. And then you end up getting more and more opportunities because you're easy to work with.
I think so this year in 2021, I got two video offerings. One was for CNN. And then just this past week, I was featured on CNBC, and they found me, both of them found me through YouTube. And I think if you put yourself on video and they know that you can talk, your chances of getting on are infinitely greater.
Yes, because what they don't want to do is take a risk. Now, it's a little bit different in 2021 because a lot of the in-person studio stuff is done via Skype, right? Where you're at your house and you're Skyping in to a news show or something like that, or a morning show. But, you know, back in the day when people could get in-person stuff, you know, if you got on TV and froze, that's a nightmare, right, for them.
Oh, you meant live, so, right?
Live TV, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you know, that's the thing. If you do well, and that's why I think people finding you on YouTube is become more and more prevalent, because at least they know you have some level of video experience where you're not going to get on there and just make a fool of yourself. Not on purpose, but I mean, it is nerve-wracking to be videoed. And it's funny because we have a really good friend, Andrea Robinson, who was a morning show anchor for, I think, like 15 years in the Phoenix area. And she and I joke because I don't love live TV. I don't mind live like Facebook and stuff, but live TV is terrifying to me. She hates pre-recorded. Like, I'm like, I'll record all, like, I'll just talk, you know, and she wants to talk right to a camera. I want to talk to like a stage, right? So it's funny because you kind of get in your zone of what you're comfortable with. Some people like just talking and recording and being able to edit. I know that's something that you've really liked to do with YouTube. You like the opportunity to edit what you say. But some people like to just get live and spitball, right? And they're very comfortable and they do a good job doing it.
Why does she like recorded video? That makes no sense.
No, she likes talking directly to the camera, like a live feed. She doesn't like pre-recording stuff.
I wonder if that's a mental issue where, like, she has an excuse to make a mistake when she's live, whereas in recorded, there's more pressure sometimes.
I don't know. But I think you get comfortable with what you do the most, right? So if you're used to, like, we think about our friend Laurie from Passionate Penny Pincher, who gets on live, you know, 3-4 times a week. She's super comfortable being live. You know, so once you start getting comfortable doing a certain thing, I think it just becomes.
Yeah. I will say that when I do something recorded and I screw up, I'm tempted to just hit stop and re-record it over again. So it takes forever sometimes. Whereas when I'm going live, you know, you only got one chance.
Well, that's why I like live better, because I put way too much pressure. When I mess up in live, it's like, well, nothing I can do. I mean, I've sliced my finger open, like doing live cooking, like blood pouring on the cutting board, you know, and I'm just like, whoops. You know, wrapping it up in a paper towel as I continue to cut the avocado. I haven't said a bad word, but I've said stuff that I didn't exactly want. You know, I've said a word that I felt like maybe shouldn't have been said. Mm-hmm. My kids have walked through. I've had all sorts of stuff. And when I'm live, I just have that mentality of, well, it happened. There's nothing I can do about it because yeah. I'm live. But when I'm recording, you know, because you and I have recorded a lot of stuff together. When I mess up recording, I'm like, start it over. And 5 hours later, we're still trying to make a 4-minute video. So yeah, I think there's a difference.
Yeah. But I mean, the point, I guess, is it's really hard to get media mentions unless they've seen you somewhere. Yes. Or you have to give them the chance to find you.
Yeah.
I know for some of the other opportunities that I've gotten, people have found me through the blog. Mm-hmm. And after that, they put me through like a pre-interview process before I actually get something.
Yes. So I think there's a couple ways to think about it. I think the first way, as you mentioned this before, is using Haro.
Right.
H-A-R-O. And that's where you're basically offering information. Reporters, it's like a big database, I guess I would call that. And people make requests for quotes or... No one really wants anything more than a couple sentences, I think,
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know.
That's correct.
And so you can submit yourself to be quoted in a magazine publication. And, you know, it's interesting. I actually think this is a great way to get started if you're newer or you don't have a lot of experience in media or getting yourself out there or you don't have a huge following, because a lot of times they're just looking for an expert. So if you write about dog training – and you find a reporter that's looking for like, hey, these are great like Christmas gifts for your dog, right, to help them be more obedient. You could come in and give 3 or 4 sentences about that. And you're considered an expert because you have a website or a YouTube channel or podcast based on dog training. So that to me is like the easiest way to sort of get your foot in the door and get used to being a resource.
Yeah. And once you get that quote, then you want to keep in touch with that writer.
Yes.
Because they're probably going to do other pieces. And if you submit something good, they'll just come back to you over and over and over again. Like for this CNBC feature that I just got, I've kept in touch with the producer. In fact, we're going to grab lunch next time she's in the Bay Area, because I'm sure there's going to be other opportunities for these things going down the line.
Yeah. Another thing you can do to get a media opportunity is sometimes publications will put out, like not outside of Haro, they'll put out a call for... They'll put out a request for a specific website type, I don't know, person. And that's actually how I got on, I guess it was CNN, when I did the Clark Howard interview. He had put out a request, or his people had put out a request for a military family with kids that were approaching college age. Because it was the whole article was about, you know, are you paying for your kids' college or not? And so there was a request put out. So we just submitted me as... And I figured, and they weren't necessarily looking for an influencer, but I figured I had a better shot at getting picked because I was an influencer. I did have YouTube videos. I did have content. So they could vet me, first of all, initially. And then two, I could promote it on my site as well. So I think that was helpful in getting that opportunity because I did have, I wasn't just a regular person that, you know, and I'm, you know, and so we got picked to do that interview. So I actually applied to do that.
What is this list? Is this like an email list?
What do you mean, what list?
Well, you said there was a request put out. Like, where was the request?
It was on like the Clark Howard website.
So you actually had to see the website? Like you just happened to be on it?
I think that one actually came through my ex-husband who was in the military at the time. I think, you know, they sent out like, hey, Clark Howard's coming to Jacksonville. He's looking for a couple families to interview about XYZ. And so, and then there was a link to the website where it did talk about what they were looking for, like a page on his site.
Gotcha.
And we just applied.
So I actually belong to these email lists, and I'm sure you're probably on a couple too, but I met these writers at FinCon. And they're always looking for quotes. They're always looking.
Yes.
They're always constantly writing, and they actually need people to quote. And so I got on this email list where every time they're working on an article, they literally just email out this entire list saying, hey, we need a quote for this. We need someone who talks about this, an expert on this. And if you want to be in it, you just reply. And if you're one of like, you know, maybe like the first five people, it's kind of like Harrow, but it's a private Harrow.
Yeah. And I think not only, so there's, and you can get into Facebook groups that do this as well. Like our friend Holly Johnson, who's a travel writer and a financial writer, is always looking for, you know, so it's like she just put out something the other day. I saw it. It's like, hey, does anyone have the new American Express Platinum whatever card? I'd love to get a couple sentences about your experience using, I think it was, oh my gosh, what is it called? Airport lounges. Like it gave you, it gives you access to yep. the, like the Delta United lounges or whatever. So she wanted someone, she doesn't have that card, but she's writing an article on it. So she needed information from people that do. And I think if you think of, as if you're thinking about this as an opportunity, you, there are definitely things in your life that you can talk as an expert on, or even as someone with experience. You don't necessarily have to be an expert. No one's an expert on Delta lounges. I mean, there probably are, but.
So I guess let's break it down. I mean, there's different ways to get media. One is through like the written word, you know, like blogs and other yeah. websites. Then there's like podcasts, and then there's video. So I think we covered blog pretty well. I think Harrow is probably your best bet if you don't know anybody. Basically, yeah. you just go and you sign up for the email list, and I think it's twice a day. I feel like I get spammed by them all the time. It might be more than twice a day.
I unsubscribed. Right? I couldn't handle. Well, I'm not doing that. That's not something that I want to work on right now. So I just had to unsubscribe because I couldn't.
Yeah. So the way I was managing it before was I actually hired someone to just go, and I gave him my portfolio of stuff and like some quotes, and he actually just browsed the Harrow. He actually had a, he does this for a living, but he had a professional account, I guess, at Harrow, a paid mm-hmm. account. And yeah. you actually get access to those listings earlier, like a full hour, okay. I think, earlier than other yeah. people. I don't know the exact details, but he would just go and he would apply to like, you know, 10 a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And I would say my hit rate was like, I don't know, like 5%.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys an idea of how many you have to send out. So like for every 100 that you send out, you might get 5.
However, once you start getting them, your hit rate's going to go up.
Yes, that is correct. And this is why it's kind of important. And sometimes it's difficult for blog mentions, but you can keep in touch. Just send them, hey, is it okay? Like, just put me on your list for the next time you have yeah. an article on this. Here's what I specialize in, e-commerce, advertising, yeah. whatnot. And then they'll think about you for next time.
Yeah. I got on back in, I don't know, 2010 or 11, I got on some publicist PR list for cleaning tips. And so, and that's what happens is once you get a couple and you have your area of expertise, then they end up just contacting you directly a lot of times because the person, and I'm going to use like a lifestyle example because that's what my familiarity is. But, you know, once you're featured in Women's Day, the people that are doing Ladies Home Journal are reading Women's Day, right? Mm-hmm. So, when they look at those articles and they're quoting, you know, Tony Herbach, whatever, then they're like, okay, I'm going to reach out to her too because she's got a good tip and, you know, she's probably easy to work with. So, you know, once you get featured in one place, other writers will see that. And what happens eventually after you put in the initial work. So it's once again, the hockey stick, right? You put in the initial drudgery
right.
of the 5% return. Once you start getting featured, once your name's out there, these people all talk to each other. They're all friends. And so then you start getting opportunities to do other things. And if you ever, I don't know how prevalent this is in your space, but in like the lifestyle space, it's the same 20 people who get invited to do everything.
Same in right? e-commerce, right? I mean, it's the yeah. same like 50 people maybe.
Yeah. And 20 is a small number. But you know what I'm saying? It's like once you are known in that world, it just snowballs for you. So it's just you really have to do the drudgery in the initial steps. And here's the other thing, and I might be jumping ahead, but I think this is really important. Once you start getting featured, you need to put those features on your website.
Yes.
And I know you've done a really good job on your homepage. You can talk a little bit about this because I know you've basically redesigned your homepage, I think, to feature this, or maybe it's your about page, both maybe?
Actually, it's funny.
Everywhere?
I was actually just in the midst of doing a redesign because I wanted to incorporate that CNBC feature because I think it was a really well done video. Like I think Allison, yeah. who's the producer, did a really good job. So I'm actually going to try to put it in the footer of every single page because it's really like a quick and dirty video that really encapsulates all my values and that sort of thing. So yes, what you're saying is once you get that press mention, you want to at least put the logo of, you know, where you were published. But if if it's some sort of video and you like it and you want people to watch it, make sure it's there, like on your website. It doesn't have to be like in your face, but somewhere really subtle. Like if they finish reading one of your posts, like they'll see the video.
Yeah. And if you see on some websites, you'll even, it doesn't, I wouldn't necessarily put this in your header unless this is like a real big goal for you. But in your footer, you can always put something like press. A lot of e-commerce stores do this.
Yes.
And you put in your footer menu, you put press, and then on that page, you're just going to list off where you've been featured. Hey, Ark, you know, you were featured on, I think, what, Today's Show or Good Morning America for the handkerchiefs.
Yes, that's on the footer of every single page of the site.
But you could also create a page on your site where you say, these are where our products were featured, or this is where I've been featured as a content creator. And then you just list off all the opportunities that you've had. And then if you have video or, you know, anything that shows exactly what it is, that's very helpful, because a lot of times when bigger publications want to work with you, they'll do some background research on you to see if you're a good fit.
I mean, the social proof is important too.
Yeah.
Even for your readers, like it'll give you a boost of credibility. But yeah, if they're looking for a press mention, all that stuff helps.
Another really good way to connect with publishers is through Twitter. And this is actually...
This is your bread and butter, Tony.
This is my bread and butter. Well, this is actually how I connected with a lot of brands early on in blog. I mean, whenever I think I got on Twitter in 2009, so pretty early on with Twitter. But it's a great way to connect with PR people, marketing people, brands direct, the brand PR person. Because here's another thing. A lot of brands... So this is an interesting little tidbit if you don't know about this. If you're in the lifestyle space, you know, let's just say OxiClean is looking to get mentions in magazines or publications. Well, OxiClean can't just get a mention in a publication, because then they need to buy an ad, right? They need to buy a spread, a page. But what they can do is provide a topic expert to talk about how to get your grass stains out of the football uniforms. And so I can go in as an expert, talk about all these laundry tips, and just mention OxiClean. Right.
What is Oxy? You mean the oxygen thing?
Yeah, like the detergent. Yeah.
I was thinking like the acne medicine.
Yeah, that's Oxy. What is that?
It's Oxy also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's OxyClean. It's Oxy something else.
I think it's just Oxy. Yeah.
But it would work for skincare. I mean, I see people do this all the time in beauty, right? So L'Oreal can't just like come in and be like, "Hey, I'm Margaret from L'Oreal, and I want to talk about how great this concealer is," but you know. Natasha, who has an Instagram channel, can talk about how she's going to go over 5 cheap beauty products that you can get at Walgreens, and L'Oreal is going to be number one. So she's like technically working for L'Oreal, but it comes across as organic because she's not on L'Oreal's payroll. So I used to do this a lot where my person that I worked with for, and OxiClean is one that I did this for a lot, which is why I brought it up. And I was actually an ambassador for them. So, I mean, there was money involved, but doesn't have to be. You know, they would say, "Hey, we're doing this thing for Ladies Home Journal. Can you do a paragraph on your best 2 tips for laundry?"
Yeah.
Right. And so it's a way to get a mention in it. So it's benefiting me because they would always say Tony from The Happy Housewife. So even though there wasn't a link in the publication because it's paper, it's still getting my name out there. And then it's also benefiting the brand. But the way I made all those connections, circling way back, is through Twitter.
I think with Twitter, people are just much more likely to respond to you if you DM them. So, I mean, we can just quote some of your tactics here, Tony. I mean, the first thing that you do is you'll just reply to their, you'll be like one of the earliest to reply to their tweets, and you'll be kind of consistent about it, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of know who you are. I mean, who's this crazy lady retweeting all my tweets? And then you start a conversation.
Yep.
And then before you know it, like you guys are DMing and whatnot. Like if you want to get on the podcast, for example, I get DMs all the time now since I've been tweeting regularly.
Yeah.
People are just more receptive to communication on Twitter. I, for me personally, like if you reach out to me on Twitter, I'm probably a little bit more likely to respond because I know it has to be concise. Like I'm not going to receive like this 5-page, you know, essay.
Yeah. Well, you and I both have seen this where someone will email us and it's 16 paragraphs. And God bless them. Like I know that's a lot, but you and I both know that we're not writing 16 paragraphs back. We just can't, we don't have the bandwidth. But if someone pings us on, like, I use Instagram, I'm DMing people all day long on Instagram. I don't use, I keep saying this, I got to get back on Twitter. I'm on it, but I'm not using it like I used to. Like, I will do brands all day long on Instagram. And you've seen me do this. Like, I will be in the store and I'll take a photo and I'll tag them. And they always respond to me on Instagram. They always DM me. They reshare it. And like big brands sometimes will reach. I mean, I got Reggie Miller to like
That's
reshare
true.
Something.
I knew you were going to drop that in there.
I know.
Is that what this
on,
is leading up
on.
To? Okay.
This, no, it wasn't. But I just like last night was a big night for us. Steph broke the three record, so I have to throw that in there. No, but it's you're totally right. People that normally like if I emailed Reggie Miller, he would not email me back, but he would like respond to a DM or not all. And I would say he's kind of a celebrity. Not all celebrities are going to do this, but brands will. I've done it with. I did that. What that was like the death water. I saw this. It's like.
Oh yes, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, like they immediately responded to me, and we went back and forth for a little bit. And I'm sure if I wanted to like. It's definitely not on brand for me, but if I wanted to like build a relationship with that company, I think I had a very easy in after that. So I think if in Twitter, Instagram, I think work the same in this, like share their stuff, comment on their or retweet their tweets, respond to their tweets, organically share about them. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a response. Mm-hmm. It could be just like, hey, and you can do this on Twitter, take a picture, tweet it out, tag them in something funny. Anything like that, you're going to get their attention pretty quickly because the platform is just different.
So what you need to do actually, if you want to get into the media or like a mention in an article, you need to just find out who the editor is or who the authors are. And everyone has a byline. Figure out where their yeah. Twitter is and just start retweeting their stuff or replying to their stuff regularly. You might think that they don't notice, but I actually, like I might not notice a single tweet to one of my things, but... If you're retweeting or replying to everything for an entire month, like I'll know who you are.
Oh, and I don't even have a lot of Instagram followers, but I can tell you the top five people that always respond to my stuff.
Yes. I mean, it works.
And yeah, it works. Like, and these are people that I've actually, it's kind of funny. One of these people, I met her at a blogging conference, I want to say in 2009. I don't even think she blogs anymore, but she's on Instagram. We follow each other. She responds like via DM to almost every story that I post. She's funny. And like, we've kind of built this friendship through Instagram. I mean, I don't even, she lives in like Illinois or so I don't even know. Right. But it's right. Like over time, and she's not being spammy. She's like genuinely interested in like what my life is. And she's like, she'll DM me photos of like what she's doing. She's like, oh, I just got off work or whatever. But it's funny how it just over time, we just kind of evolved into this friendship. And it's the same thing with brands. Over time, you'll evolve. And I mean, you're probably not going to become friends with them, but like it's the same principles of, you know, being top of mind for them. And then eventually there'll be an opportunity for you.
I think the worst thing that you can do is just to lead with, hey, I want to be featured on your.
Yes.
I get like maybe 10 to 20 of these a day. And I've never, ever said yes to any of them. I think yeah. The better way is if they had just slipped into my Twitter account maybe or even Instagram and just kind of, you know, replied. Like the worst ones are like, hey, I listened to this episode. It was great. Oh, by the way, I have this person yeah. That can.
Yeah. I listened to insert episode here. It was great.
Yeah.
What they need to lead for you. They're like, listen, loved the V-neck today, Steve. Loved the V-neck. I think navy looks good on you.
That's what I'm wearing right now in case anyone's listening. But yes, see,
hey,
I mean,
it's not a branded t-shirt. What's going on?
This is
a holiday.
Definitely the way to go. In terms of, I mean, since we were just talking about podcasts, like if you're trying to pitch to get on someone's podcast, then number one, you definitely want to leave a review. And yes. If they have a podcast page that has comments open, just leave comments or just start tweeting out these episodes or yeah. Sharing them on Instagram regularly and tagging that person. I guarantee you, even after just like two or three episodes of this, they'll know who you are.
And the thing that I think we've talked about this in so many episodes, but this is always true. It has to be genuine. This cannot be a spammy, like I'm going to do these five steps and be your biggest fan for 4 weeks so I get what I want and then I'm out. Like you have to look at this as like a long-term relationship. So if someone wants to get on your podcast, let's just say... and they start, you know, they subscribe, they leave a review, they're being active, they're retweeting your stuff on Twitter, they have to realize that this is, you know, going to be something where it's a long-term thing, because a lot of people that you have on your podcast, you become friends with, they end up speaking at Seller Summit, or they end up, you know, you end up in some sort of like, not partnership with them, but, you know, there's certain things that you guys will do because of the relationship that's built. And so I think when you go into this, you have to realize this is a long-term play. This is not a short-term game.
I think it's also important to just go to events and network, because
Let's
say you have a friend that gets featured. Well, what I'll usually do is I'll ask for an intro from that friend, and an intro always converts like 500% better than if you're just going to do cold outreach. I'm trying to think of an example here. So a Forbes mentioned that I got maybe a couple of years ago. It's because I knew the author who had been at FinCon, and you know, we became friends over the years, and it was just really easy to just, ask, if you're looking for someone else to feature, will you consider featuring me?
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, and now that we're hopefully moving back towards in-person events again, I feel like that's the trend right now. It's definitely worth, if this is something that you're interested in doing, it's worth the investment of going to an event, because there's just no, I mean, we did Seller Summit virtually in 2000, I don't even know.
2020. It was 2020.
2020. Whatever year that was.
Trying to cancel that year out of my mind.
I know. And while I feel like we delivered on the content and the speakers the speakers just knocked it out of the park. And I think there were definitely some advantages to the virtual event, because there was more time for like questions, and I felt like there was a lot of interaction. And, you know, and sometimes in events, things can feel very rushed and hurried because, you know, we're on a pretty strict timeline and things like that, whereas you're not as much on that in virtual. There's nothing that can replace, you know, hanging out at the bar after the conference, you know, day is over, having dinner with people, meeting up with people for lunch. Those are the invaluable parts of an event that you can't really recreate virtually, no matter how hard you try.
I'm just going to go out and say it. I hate virtual events. I just do not like them.
I like, so this is kind of, this is totally random, but I signed up for Molly's doing an email marketing thing tomorrow.
Is it a virtual thing?
Like a virtual thing.
Okay. Yeah.
It's 3 hours. I'm like, what are you going to talk about for 3 hours? There's just no possible way you can talk about iOS and email for 3 hours that will keep my attention.
Are you sure she's not having multiple speakers, or?
I don't think so, but we'll see.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to hang tomorrow for that. But I agree with you. Like, there's just, I like virtual if I want to just learn something really quick. Like, I'll, you know, sign up for something, like, okay, I just want to watch like these two videos and learn more about these specific things. But to me, they're not effective. To me, the purpose of going to an event is really the networking side of it. Yes, I want to learn stuff as well, but more importantly, I want to meet people.
Yeah. Let's see. So we covered blogging or getting mentioned in articles. We kind of touched on podcasts. How do you get on like the major networks?
So I feel like the major networks is a little bit tougher. Like, to get on the Today Show, things like that, the easiest way to do that is to hire somebody to
like a publicist. You mean?
Yeah. If you hire a publicist, you are a decent video person. I mean, I would say if you're not comfortable on video or on camera, that you don't want to invest in a publicist. But if your goal is to really get in media, you have to have a publicist initially. Once you get on, if you've ever watched the Today Show or Good Morning America, they have the same people on. Oh, so-and-so's back again with the top 10 toys for Christmas. But they were the person that was also the top 10 Valentine's toys and Easter toys and 4th of July fun, right? It's the same five people. So once you get in with them, it's very easy to keep getting invited back. And the other thing is, like, you know, people on the Today Show are watched by the people on Rachel Ray or Kelly Clarkson. And so when those people, they're pulling from those people as well, because they're not a risk to put on TV. So I think the biggest thing for major media is to have a publicist. But if you don't want to get a publicist, because they're expensive and it's not something that you're willing to spend the money on right now.
How much is a publicist? I've always wondered, because I've never had one.
I think you pay them a retainer per month.
Okay.
So it's thousands of dollars a month. For a publicist.
Okay.
But here's what I think is a good way to get started in that, is reach out to your local news station. You don't even have to be that good on camera to do local news. Right now, a lot of them are doing stuff via Skype, you know, not in studio. But every morning and lunch show is looking for filler content. Because if you live in a like I live in Orlando, I mean, once you get through the three shootings and the apartment fire, they don't have anything else to talk about, right, for the rest of the morning. I mean, they're always looking for back to school time. Where do you get the best deals, you know? Or should your kid ride the bus this year with COVID? You know, it's like they're looking for the – and they want some subject matter expert to come on and talk about, you know – that topic. I mean, Leslie Samuel, who lives a couple hours from me, is on the news all the time talking about social media, right? So social media and kids, social media, what's going on in the world. And he's basically solidified himself on several networks so that when they have a story about, you know, something social media related, they call him. And he...
Okay, walk me through this process. So I'll just go on... Let's say Orlando News.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Watch the local news, but yeah.
So you go on their website?
I would go on their website.
Is there
going to
be like a link or something?
And you know, there's a contact us button. Now, okay. I would say when you do this, you should have some video of yourself, either on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, because you need for them to see you on camera. Because, right. I mean, at the end of the day, and I hate to say this, but they are going to be discriminatory about people. So if you come across as a slob or someone who can't speak well, they're probably not going to have you on. You know, so you need to be dressed appropriately.
Does that mean like no Crocs?
It's probably no Crocs, unless you're doing an article on Crocs, and then definitely that's you're in, right? Show them your extensive collection, Steve. But yeah, I mean, you want to have some sort of, what do they call it? Like a highlight reel, right, of things that you've done. But it doesn't necessarily have to be other TV, right? It can be YouTube, which is why I think getting on YouTube, doing Instagram, Facebook Lives, even Facebook video, putting video out there is so important, because then you can just, even if you have TikTok, right, send them a couple of your TikToks. And so, because all they want is someone who's articulate to get on there and give them 3 minutes of information. And the standard is, I don't want to say it's low, but the bar is low to get in. You don't have to say like, oh, I've got a million followers and all this stuff. It's just, hey, I'm articulate. I can look like a presentable person on camera. I'm not going to embarrass. I'm not going to get up there and drop a swear word. And, you know, I can speak about this topic with some knowledge.
So it's basically like a Harrow pitch, yeah. Right? You say, hey, my name is this. Here's what I'm an expert in. And then here are just some of my samples of me on video.
And
can you walk me through exactly what you would write? Just kind of curious.
I would write basically what you just said. Hey, I would say something like, hey, so-and-so, because you're usually emailing like the producer or, you know, you're not emailing the anchor, right? Or the host. I would just say, hey, my name is so-and-so. I have my YouTube channel is XYZ. I talk extensively about spring gardening. If you're running any articles on gardening or if you're running any feature stories on gardening, I'd love to come in and talk about. And I would actually, a lot of times they're even looking for stories. So I can talk about 7 ways to keep ladybugs out of your plants without using pesticides, right? You can even pitch something that specific. And So sometimes they're like, perfect. We need an article. We have a slow day on Wednesday, you know, so why don't you come in? Now, the other thing that you have to realize with local news is you could get bumped for,
for like a real crisis or a real news story.
In fact, I think it was, I hate to bring this up, but I was supposed to do some sort of, I lived in Jacksonville, I think. I don't know. I was supposed to do some sort of local news, and Trayvon Martin happened the night before. Clearly I wasn't doing any local news. So you have to be prepared for things like that where, you know, I'm in Orlando. So like the Pulse shooting, something like that. Like you're not going to get on if that was your day to come on. But you have to be flexible and say like, no problem. I can come in next Monday or Thursday or whatever. Just be flexible with it. But you just do a cold pitch. Another way to meet news people is to, and you can also do this with radio, local radio. Everyone has a local radio station. You can pitch them. It's actually even easier to get on radio. And it's actually even easier to get a weekly segment on radio.
Interesting. Okay.
And you know, obviously you have to be in the right niche for radio. Like you actually would be in a pretty decent niche for like an AM radio station.
I always wonder what the rewards for doing a radio station are, though. It seems like you need repeated exposure.
Yes. And I think it's mixed. I have a friend who's a financial advisor. He actually buys a 30-minute radio show on one of the It's like basically, yeah. But it's he talks about like wealth management or something on one of the AM stations. It's like Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And he pre-records it and it plays from like 7 to 7:30. But he said the ROI is great for him.
Huh. Interesting.
That's a paid thing. It's a little bit different. But I think it just depends. He's there every week. But then, you know, they also run promos to his show, right, throughout the week. So he's getting more exposure on that. So there's different things you can do. But I think the important thing to remember is that you just have to continually work at it, be consistent. And the other thing is you're not going to be great the first time you ever do it. It takes practice. You're going to get better over time.
I know for me, like I haven't really had to solicit any press mentions. I think just putting yourself out there and making your own content popular is the best way. Like I get pitched, I would say 2 to 3 times a week mm-hmm. to be on something, whether it be a podcast. Or the video mentions are pretty rare,
yeah.
I would say. But podcasts, getting on podcasts and being featured on a Roundup post or something like that, I mean, that happens every week, multiple times a week.
Right.
But they wouldn't be able to find you unless you have content out there.
Yeah. And let's talk about one more thing that I think is really important, especially if you get a TV or video opportunity. Let's just talk about some of the things that you did to get ready for your...
Oh, to get ready? Well, besides like cleaning the house and turning everything upside down?
Honestly, I think that matters. But here's the thing. If you're going in studio, take a couple outfits.
You're talking about the CNN thing. Yeah. Yes.
Take a couple outfits. The rule for females is bright and tight. So you want really bright colors, usually solids. It needs to be very fitting because you don't want to go out there with like a loosey-goosey shirt on. You'll look 100 pounds heavier. I know that sounds very shallow, but... That's if you show up with three dresses and one is like royal blue, one's hot pink and one's, you know, bright yellow, they're going to be thrilled with you. Right. They're gonna be like, perfect. Because the other thing is, I remember one time I had a friend that had her very first news opportunity and she was asking for advice from me and Aaron and a couple other people. And we said, you know, bring a couple's tops. Well, the top she really wanted to wear was literally the exact color of the background. So definitely could not wear that on TV. Right. Because she just looked like a head on the back, you know. So she wore.
They told me the opposite. Maybe it's different for guys.
What'd they say? Loosey goosey?
No. They didn't say tight and bright. Yeah. I'd be like, what?
No, you showed up in a hot pink dress and they were like, take that off, Steve.
They wanted like navy.
Yes.
No stripes or patterns. Yes. You know, just some kind of solid.
Yes. One of my biggest regrets is what I wore for the Clark Howard interview. This thing has been viewed so many times. It's crashed my website. Like it was a very, very popular segment. It was so popular they reran it for like 6 years in a row on Veterans Day. And there were two different segments that went with it. One was the B-roll where it was us in our house, kind of like what you guys had for the CNBC thing. And then the second part of it was us actually talking with Clark Howard in a hangar in front of a big military airplane. I don't know what kind of airplane it was, so I'm sure I'm showing my ignorance there. But for the one in the house, I, for some stupid reason, wore white pants. And white pants are not flattering unless you are like 102 pounds. They just make you look bigger than you are. And so.
Do they really?
I mean, and I'm not like, you know, I'm not a big person. But like when I look at that video, I was like, why did I wear white pants? Like they're just, it wasn't a good, and I had like a maroon shirt on. The shirt was good, but I should have paired it with like a black or a gray. It would have just blended better. It was just too choppy. Then for the interview with Clark, I wore like a, almost like a cheetah. I can't even get it out. Like a cheetah.
Is this on YouTube? Can we link to this in the show notes?
I have to find it. I think I might only have the video now. I wore like a cheetah print top, but it was like cheetah print in black and white. And Clark is wearing a camo, like his camos. So, and my ex-husband is in, so Clark is in green camis, my ex is in blue camis, and I'm in like a cheetah print top, and it was just, I cringe every time I see that photo, because there's a
photo. I have to watch this video now.
I have a photo, I can definitely put the photo up, because there's a still photo from the interview, but I was like, what was I thinking that cheetah print was going to go with two different color camo in a gray airplane behind me. Like I should have totally worn like hot pink or bright blue. Like the colors that I normally wear on stage, right? Like the bright colors. Of course, I hadn't done a lot of speaking back then, but I still cringe over that outfit.
I know for the CNN thing, I brought five outfits, like you said, mm-hmm. and they just went through all of it. And then I literally just changed right there. There was like this curtain.
Yeah.
And then I just changed right there and it just popped right in.
But that shows a level of professionalism that will probably get you back on TV at some point.
Well, they were like, do you have any other shoes besides Crocs that you can wear for this
You're
segment?
Like, yes, I brought some flip-flops. They're Reefs. I got a bottle opener on the bottom. I'm ready for the after party.
Do you have a nicer t-shirt, perhaps, that you can...
No. Do you have a t-shirt that doesn't say my wife quit her job or Seller Summit? So I think, you know, showing up professional, showing up, you know, with your hair and makeup done, they're probably going to like fix it a little bit anyway. But I think making it as easy as possible. I know you guys did like a massive purge of your home before they came and filmed. I did the same thing.
Yes.
But I think you don't want them to show up and realize that we have to film from this very specific angle so we don't show the fact that they've got 4-year-old mayonnaise in the fridge, right? Like, you want to make sure that you make it as easy as possible for the people that you're working with, because that's how you get the next opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, so if we were to just sum up this episode, I mean, I think the best way to get opportunities is to put yourself out there. Like, you have to have some content out there. And then second, you can try to pitch using a service like Haro. And in terms of getting the video mentions, you can use your patented technique, which is to slip into their Twitter DMs or Instagram.
I like to slide. I like to slide into the DMs, Steve. Come on.
Tony's method is very effective.
It is.
I mean, like, she just kind of wears on you over time. Like, who is this woman like constantly retweeting and mentioning my stuff? And then before you know it, you're featuring her on something.
Before you know it, you're locked into a partnership of conferences and courses and podcasts, and you can't get out.
Yeah, so, like, for me, like, I'm not as good at slipping into someone's DMs as Tony is. I just put out content, and people just tend to find me over time. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.